You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Dave Kellner, John Babb and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Three turf meetings on Tuesday afternoon, Brighton, Catterick and Leicester. There's also all-weather action in the evening from Kempton. So four meetings to look ahead to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Pretty good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Good man. Pretty special day of racing to look back at from Sunday. Arkadet Longchamp, 7 Group 1s on the card, the Ark itself as well. What a marvellous day of racing it was, James.
Absolutely brilliant day of racing. And although we probably didn't get the result we wanted with Trev going for that historic hat-trick, we still had a cracking Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, and we saw a brilliant winner in Golden Horn. He probably hasn't got the credit he's deserved this season, but he finally showed how good he was yesterday.
Yeah, we'll get more reflection from you in just a moment or two. There's also some pretty good racing domestically on Saturday as well, and we'll look back a little bit at that as well using the questions in the Racing Post's Monday jury. The first of which is, well then, reflection, civil play on Europe's most valuable race. Before we get your thoughts, James, we can actually take in the closing stages of the Arc just to relive those final few moments of what was a thrilling renewal.
Trev's got a lovely free run there on the outside, if she's good enough. Now New Bay comes bursting between horses to tackle Golden Horn, but Golden Horn got first run. Golden Horn has the lead. Here's Trev on the outside. Flintshire battles away behind those with Erupt on the inner. Trev's trying to come there, but Golden Horn has the lead from Flintshire and Erupt, and Trev on the outside who's hanging. Golden Horn is still in front. Flintshire tries hard behind, but it's Golden Horn who's going to lead to the line. Golden Horn's won it to Flintshire second, Trev only third in a photo with New Bay, and behind those was Erupt.
Yeah, magnificent end to the race, going the way of Golden Horn. His only blip is that one race at York, and what a marvellous possible end to his career. They are considering going to the Breeders' Cup turf with him, but first of all, starting with Golden Horn, it was a great ride from Frankie, and he's won very handsomely.
Yeah, definitely a good ride from Frankie. Helped by the fact that Golden Horn is pretty uncomplicated. The wide draw was an issue, but the fact that he's made a run in quite a few of his races this year in the Eclipse means that from that wide draw you're not desperate to get cover, which is where you struggle generally if you're drawn wide.
Yeah.
But the fact that Frank was able to stick out wide and basically race without cover for a couple of furlongs and then slot in behind Trev's pacemaker, Shalar, actually Frankie did give it a good ride, but it was helped by the nature of Golden Horn. I think a lot of horses you couldn't have done that with. So, like I say, he's given it a good ride, but helped by the fact that Golden Horn's got a great nature, and everything then went right because they didn't go very quick. I think perhaps the pacemaker, Shalar, could have gone a little bit quicker because Frankie was cruising there in second place, and it did just lead to a little bit of a sprint. But, like I say, it was a really competitive arc, and Golden Horn, like I say, probably not quite got the credit he deserves. I don't think it was the strongest of derbies that he won this year, but the fact that he keeps going back for more, he's had a very, very busy season, and to win the arc was very, very impressive.
That's the thing with him, he's so hardy and he's taken his racing exceptionally well. He's had so many big races this year.
Definitely.
And he's still doing it at this time of the year. And to be fair to Frankie as well, he had to be very brave to start with the way he kept him wide and then timed the move to the inside perfectly. It was a marvellous result for Golden Horn. What do you make of Trev? Because the neutral, if you like, would have loved to see Trev win.
Yeah, definitely, I want to see Trev win. Yeah. It would have been a great story for racing, French racing in particular, because actually the French public have got behind Trev, and it's something that very rarely happens in France. Racing is very much rarely supported. So it was a shame. Basically, I think the ground was the main issue. I think if it had been a little bit softer, she would have been closer. But she was just undone by the fact that there wasn't a lot of pace. Thierry Jarnet's got a bit of criticism from some people, but I thought he didn't really do a lot wrong, because from that draw, he went for the wide passes, which he normally takes on her. And if he'd gone a little bit quicker, I think he would have been fine. But nothing came from behind. She still showed a bit of acceleration to get up to third before getting a little bit tired. Her hanging right, which we've seen throughout her career, that wasn't helpful for Thierry when he was stuck on the outside. But generally, I think everything went right for Golden Horn. Trev probably second best on the day. Like cricket head Marak said, she could have been closer, it would have been nicer, but best horse won on the day. And I think that is key. A shame she's lost nothing in defeat, and it was great to see her come back for another year. But I'd say at the end of the day, Golden Horn was the best horse.
Yeah, I had to settle for fourth best on the placings in the end. The French Derby winner New Bay was third, and Flintshire in the places yet again, second for a second year in succession.
Yeah, definitely. He's a cracking horse, Flintshire. Again, another one that probably doesn't really get a lot of credit. Obviously, second to Trev the year before, second here yesterday. He actually had his ground, because generally the arc can be a little bit soft or even heavy, but this year, a very dry couple of weeks meant that the ground was very much in a quick slide. Lots of track records, and again, Golden Horn, who obviously missed to King George's at a very, very soft ground. Ground considered one of the very many reasons why he got beaten in the Judd Monty, where Frankie was definitely not seen to best effect that day, where he didn't give it a great ride. And they've redeemed himself there in the arc.
Yeah, so Trev is to be retired on the back of that. Golden Horn's got his place at stud next year as well, so we won't see him as a four-year-old, unfortunately. But what a way to go if that is his final race. We might see him in America in a few weeks' time anyway. But apart from the ARC, obviously plenty of other good races on the card. Do you think we may have seen a classic winner in the Boussac or the Lagardère?
I think probably the Boussac will be the better race for next year's classics. Ballydoyle, named after her illustrious connections. She taken a while to get going. Obviously, she's beaten the first couple of runs that she had. But, like I say, I do like her. Got a great attitude. She doesn't do anything flashy, but I think she's just one of these fillies, a little bit like Sky Lantern, that can just keep progressing. And I think she's going to have every chance in the 1,000 guineas. The Lagardère, there wasn't much pace. It was a much slower time than the fillies equivalent. And the fact that Simrek was only rated 95 coming into the race, it's probably an unlucky loser, suggests to me that race might not be the best Group 1 we've seen. I think the Duast will provide much stronger candidates next weekend. So I think Baidol, perhaps the 1,000 guineas winner, but I don't think we've seen anything from the Lagardère for next year's 2,000 guineas.
Anything else on the card in Longchamp stand out to you?
Just well done to Hugo Palmer and Covert Love. What a great attitude she showed when winning, because she certainly looked to be headed by Jazzy Top throughout the final furlong, but she really battled back very, very gamely. She's had a busy season, and she stood up to it very, very well. And the real flag bearer for Hugo Palmer's yard, and he's a trainer very much on the up.
Yep, big success as well for Robert Cowell, another sprinter coming to the fore for him in the shape of Gold Dream.
Yep, three times Gold Dream's had fast ground this year, three wins. And yep, again, we didn't expect such fast ground in New York weekend, but they certainly had it, and it suited him and perhaps didn't suit a few of the others. But Gold Dream, Robert Cowell, once again, like I say, excels with sprinters, and he's done a cracking job of that individual.
And what did you make of Limato? Would you say a little bit unlucky?
A little bit unlucky, but he made his own bad luck.
Yeah,
nothing Ryan Moore can do. He's just getting his habit of being a little bit lazy in the early stages, and he was just too far behind. But Henry Candy is never, ever bullish at all before the race. He was saying, oh, he's probably gone his coat. His horses don't run very well in October. He's run an absolute cracker, but he kind of made his own trouble. I think he's going to stay a mile, no problem. And he's going to be a decent horse for years to come. But he just needs to be a little bit more motivated in the early stages.
All right, let's look a little bit further back as well. Saturday, we saw Gifted Master, Star Storm and Alice Springs at Newmarket. Any of those stand out to you as future ones to follow?
Well, the sales races are typically weak. I don't think they're really very good adverts, to be honest, for Tattersall's Book One, because there's not many runners, and generally most of the field are pretty average. But Gifted Master is a decent individual. He obviously was very impressive at the start of the season before a few wayward tendencies crept in and he had a subsequent gelding operation. Obviously, this means he's not eligible for the classics anymore, but it does mean that they've got him back on track as a racehorse, and he was very, very impressive, given a good ride from the front, but he didn't really beat a lot, beat a non-stayer and win Waterloo Bridge. I think he's probably a Group 3, Group 2 campaigner. Interesting if they go to America. I think he could do well out there, because that generally the juvenile out there isn't very good on the turf, or not for Group 1 level anyway, so he could be interesting for that, but I don't think he's going to be a Group 1 horse in the summer next year, and obviously he can't go for the classics. Star Storm was probably the one that I was most impressed with, because he's really progressed nicely. A son of See the Stars, the way he made up a lot of ground, he wasn't really well positioned by Tom Queeley, and he actually quickened past him, and he won in the style of a very, very impressive horse. You'd imagine he's going to improve at four, and James Vantra's in absolutely cracking form. Six winners from his last eight runners, and Star Storm looks to be a very, very decent horse for him. And Alice Springs, She won her race. I think she was odds on. Didn't beat a lot. But again, she wouldn't be too far behind Barney Doyle for next year's 1,000 guineas.
Turning to the weekend, put forward two suggestions for the Cesarewitch.
Well, low-key won his trial very well for David Pipe. He was one of those plot horses for the Barney Curley gamble a few years ago when he was trained by John Butler. No one cared of Pipe. He's had a couple of wins over hurdles and a couple of wins on the fast. But I say winning the trial, pretty impressive. He didn't go very, very quick. I'd imagine he'll improve again. The vibes are very strong before the race, and I think he's definitely going to be dangerous for the English runners, while the Irish will have a pretty strong hand. Heartbreak City, I thought, won very, very well at York, and he's another one to consider. Two horses that come into the race in good form. Obviously, Quick Jack ran a good race in third last year. He's going to be another danger, but despite the fact it's 2 mile 2, draw can be key. 35 runners, you don't want to be drawn too high, so need to wait to see what the final decks are, but probably low key would be the main selection, I think, at this stage of proceedings.
Yeah, I'd tend to agree. You mentioned a couple of Tony Martin runners in there as well. He's got a whole battalion of runners in at the moment, and obviously the draw is key and what he leaves in is key, so maybe revisit that in a few days' time. The Dewhurst is also on its way. Are you an Air Force Blue or emotionless man here?
Definitely
James?
Emotionless. Probably lives up to me as well, but he very, very impressive when he went at Doncaster. I think he'd be better on quicker ground. What ground we're going to get, we're a little bit unsure, because had some excellent weather over the last couple of weeks, but looking out the window here in Leeds now, it's pretty damp and dreary, so I would imagine it's going to be a little bit of rain forecast, and I think he will be much better on a quicker surface. But I really like Emotionless. I think this could be the first start good open I've had in quite a while, and as I say, a very impressive way to get Doncaster. Air Force Blue, not quite as flashy, but he gets the job done, so he's going to be certainly a worthy contender. And like I said, when discussing that Lagardère earlier on, for me, the Dewhurst will be a much better race when providing a guide to next year's 2,000 guineas.
Yeah, really looking forward to the Dewhurst. The winner will end up being the winter favourite for the guineas next year. No surprise there. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Emotionless, because very, very impressive so far in his two starts.
Definitely. And I think KP will be interesting to see what he's got to say in a day, just hoping he's progressing, because he's looked amazing in the paddock the last twice when he's run in the... If he continues in that vein of form, I think he'll be very, very hard to beat.
All right, final question then. What do you make of the split between Andrea Zani and Qatar Racing?
Yeah, it's only lasted a year. Obviously, Andrea was originally retained by Sheikh Obid Maktoum, and we've had the controversy split, Luca Kamani and that owner. Qatar Racing didn't have another bad season, but they just seem to lack a little bit of firepower, and maybe you're restricted by what you can ride, because obviously they've got first call on you, and then they can switch and swap around meetings. Whereas if he goes back to Sheikh Obid, all the horses at Roger Varian and Andrea can get back on all of the Varian horses. Maybe that's a more powerful outfit as such, rather than riding for Qatar Racing. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, O'Shea Murphy, who's number two, for me, he's a very, very good jockey. He rides a lot for my dad. I think he'd have no problem taking a number one spot for Qatar Racing. But yeah, Qatar Racing is quite an interesting one, because obviously we had Jamie Spencer relinquish of his duties, and then he went to retire. He's come back again. He's riding as well as ever. So it's interesting to see what happens. But so I can see why Andrea's gone back to Sheikh Obid, and obviously he's got nice horses like Postponed to look forward to next year.
Yeah, do you think the fact that he'll be riding again a lot for Roger Varian was a big pull for him to leave?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think so, because like I say, the Qatar job, ride a lot of nice horses, but they're for various trainers, and it just means that you don't quite know where you're going. Hard to plan. I know when we use O'Sheen, we might lose him at the last minute because Qatar Racing said he's got to go elsewhere to ride somewhere else at a smaller meeting. So it's not easy to be a retained jockey as such sometimes, but with all the horses at Roger Varian's, at least they can plot and plan their plans a little bit better.
All right, let's leave that there. Let's move on to Tuesday's action then. We're going to focus on the meetings at Catterick and Leicester. James has got four races prepped for us, so we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we'll go through these in time order, starting in the 3:30 at Catterick. This one is a Class 3 nursery over 7 furlongs. Therefore, it's for the two-year-olds. We only have 7 runners here, unfortunately, James, but some nice two-year-olds in there.
Yeah, definitely. Saturn Lace is the last time out winner in the field. She won a nursery here at Catterick last time out off mark of 70. Handicap was a little bit harsh, stuck her up £10, bearing in mind that she'd previously been meeting off 68 in her two previous nurseries, this Kodiak filly. But she is improving. and course form around Catterick could be key. So it's not an easy track to get a handle on. So the fact that she is the only, well, baby ballerina has also won at a track, but he's been a little out of form last time. Saturn Lace is definitely the one to beat. Top weight, New Caledonia, for the all-conquering two-year-old team of Mark Johnson is certainly going to be feared. Good second at nurseries at Windsor and Newmarket. This has got the class form as such, where Saturn Lace is going up in grade. Definitely going to be dangerous, but I just think from stall two, with our course form, Saturn Lace is going to be the hard one to beat. Quote Line Direct is interesting for Mickey Hammer. Mickey Hammer not really renowned for his two-year-olds, but this one won first time out. Wasn't disgraced in a very competitive nursery at York next time out. And then again, ran okay in a novice race behind Time Warp, a useful individual for Mark Prescott's at Redcar last time. So back, well, first time in a nursery, off a mark at 79 isn't a bad mark, and Quote Line Direct is another one that's pretty dangerous. But I'm going to stick with the Quinn horse, Saturn Lace, as my selection.
All right, just an interesting side note to this race. Richard Fahey's won it the last twice. Tachophobia was the winner last year. He's got no Venophobia this year, so one for the naming people there. And no Venophobia.
No wine.
Is a fear of running out of wine.
No, not bad.
Yeah, tachophobia is the fear of speed, which is interesting if you're a racehorse. But there you go. That's nothing to do with the form or anything. Right, let's move on to the next race. We're going to look at the 340 at Leicester.
You're Googling well there, Mark.
Yes. You've caught me out. It's my encyclopedic knowledge.
I can't imagine it's your general knowledge, to be honest.
You can't imagine. Why not?
Don't strike me as a Latin speaker or knowing these kind of things.
Ask me a phobia and I'll tell you what it is.
Well, the only one I know is triskaidekaphobia,
which is the fear of the number 13.
Yeah, but that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Fear of spiders?
Arachnophobia.
All right, yeah. We'll move on.
Yeah, let's, because we've become quite sidetracked. The 340 at Leicester next. This is a Class 2 handicap. Over a mile, it's for three-year-olds and older. A field of nine here. Who do you want to start with in there, James?
Yeah, competitive stuff. The class race of the day. Nice to see a 96 to 100 race on a Monday. And they've been rewarded with a pretty competitive field. A lot of these are just struggling for form. Germany running in really competitive races. And the interesting one for me could be Magic City for Richard Hannon. He's generally not been disgraced in a few good races. Racing only beaten four lengths when 10th in the big 7-furlong handicap at Goodwood. And a little bit disappointing last time at Ascot. But he's dropped to 97. A mark he can certainly win off. And this is certainly the easiest race that Magic City has run in for some time. Melbourne the Great's pretty consistent for Andrew Boulding and David Probert. Second beaten ahead at Ayr last time off mark at 94. He's up £2.96, but he's certainly going to be pretty dangerous. Field of Dreams, Lucy Barry takes a ride for Jamie Osmond's runner. He's been a little bit disappointing recently, but he's £11 lower than what he was a year ago. And his last win came off a mark of 101 at Royal Ascot in the Hunt Cup. So he could be dangerous in a much easier race. But the one I'm going to stick with is Magic City for Richard Hannam and Jimmy Fortune in the plate.
Magic City for James. In that one, back to Catterick we go for their 4.30. This one is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older, a field of 15 here. And we'll start with Strait of Magellan, because there's a whole host of number twos next to his name. What do you make of it, James? Is it time to start taking him on, or do you give him another chance, or how do you see it?
He's not one that I think does a lot wrong, to be fair. A couple of times he's generally unlucky, but he keeps going up in the handicap. We'll see. He's only won one race and has had 6 seconds next to his name, so it's certainly questionable. And that one win came off a mark of 51. He's 73. So he's gone up £22 in all for these placed efforts. Son of Captain Rear, he goes well, a bit of ease in the ground. I think there's going to be some ease in the ground there at Catterick. And he's a three-year-old. He's getting a hefty weight for age allowance. A lot of the times he has been beaten by his own age group. So I think against older horses, getting the weight allowance, I think that could well be key as he gets an extra £7. And Louis Stewart got a good tune out of him at Epsom last time out. The fact that he goes around Epsom suggests that he should be able to handle the undulations at Catterick. And despite his seconds, I will be sticking with Strait of Magellan as a selection. Of the others, it could be interesting. Skyward Miles, the other three-year-old, for Tim Fitzgerald and Tommy's, didn't do too bad in his maidens, to be fair, when trained by Charlie Appleby. This is his first run for the Fitzgerald team, and I think he could be an interesting one off a mark of 17. Interesting to see if there's any market support for Tim Fitzgerald's new approach gelding. But Strait of Magellan will be the three-year-old I'm going to select, and hopefully he can get his head in front once again.
All right. And on to the final race we look at, which is the 4:40 at Leicester. This one is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds. We'll start with Black Knight, who has had three runs today. Got off the mark the third time of asking when winning at Lingfield, when stepping up to a mile and a half for the first time. James, more progress in him?
Yeah, big individual, trained by Stuart Williams for Qatar Racing, and then he given a mark of 75 after getting off the mark at Lingfield. At the third attempt, he has taken a long time to get going, but I think it's quite impressive the way he came out on top there at Lingfield. And back on turf, he's run perfectly well at Nottingham and ripping on the turf. He's certainly going to be dangerous, but I doubt you're going to get much of a price for Black Knight. So I'm going to go for one that's been in really good form, Agent Gibbs. He actually beat earlier selection Estrada Magellan at Lingfield in a three-runner handicap when completing a very quick hat-trick. Only took him 8 days to rack up that hat-trick. And then he ran a good race when second in a 30-grand handicap at Musselburgh behind Adele. That definitely wasn't a bad effort. He's only up £2 since then, so a mark of 80. I still think it's fair, and he's improving. So Agent Gibbs will be the selection for Ali Strong and champion jockey-elect Sylvester D'Souza. Or the others, Nora Lim for Luca Kamali, Adam Kirby, certainly interesting at the top of the weights. But I do think he might just be a little bit vulnerable, so Agent Gibbs will be the selection.
Yeah, Sylvester D'Souza's ridden Agent Gibbs once before, and it was a winning ride as well, so they get on well together.
For the stats today, aren't we, Mark?
There we go. Let's just have a quick summary, James, if you'll spin us through our selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, 3:30 at Catterick. We've gone for Satin Lace in the nursery to repeat that course success last time out. 3:40 at Leicester. We've gone for Magic City, slightly out of form, but I think you'll benefit from the dropping grade. 4:30 at Catterick. We've gone for the frustrating three-year-old Strader Magellan. Hopefully he can get his head in front after 5 seconds in a row. And finally, at 4:40 at Leicester, we have gone for Agent Gibbs.
Superb. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
There you go. The thoughts of James Millman on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Dave Kellner, John Babb and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. It's Brighton, Catterick and Leicester on Tuesday afternoon. Evening action as well on the all-weather poly track at Kempton. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.